It's 8:49 on a Wednesday morning. David Bly, State Representative for District 20B, is sitting in with us now.
Yes,
Representative
right.
Bly, thank you so much for coming in today. Boy, we are heading into the home stretch.
As I walked in, I said, I'm really bushed. I'm tired. You know, this is the hardest part of the session where they try to do everything at the last minute. And well, I'm sure, you know, we haven't had that many late nights, but we could be in session till the end right now, till Monday. But it's, this is going to be tough. Yeah.
And for you on a more personal level, less than a week left to go, and you won't have to do this
I know.
To not go for re-election. So I'm sure you would like to go out on a high note, and the things that you'll remember probably will not happen this week.
No. I am going to hopefully on Thursday do a little recognition for Thorsten Veblen, you know, who grew up in Nierstrand and went to Carleton College, and is credited with being perhaps one of the most influential Norwegian Americans, and social scientists say probably one of the most influential social scientists in the U.S. So I'll mention that, and we'll talk a little bit about him hopefully on March 17th, which is 17 of May, you know, the Norwegian Constitution Day.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a couple of days from now.
But that's one thing maybe I can go away with saying, I did something.
Well, that's good. And let's talk about the last week.
Sure.
What needs to be done, and what's the schedule looking like? I mean, there's not much time left. Have to start passing through here pretty soon.
Well, really, today is the day that they need to have things in line for the governor to deal with. Otherwise, you know, he can just sort of, you know, kind of pocket veto these things, you know. So, I mean, this is really the time when he needs to, when they need to present the governor with things. We took up the tax bill yesterday, and we, you know, allowed them to have suspend the rules and take it up early because, you know, we want to give the governor opportunity to veto it and then give them a chance to come up with a better bill. the bill that came back from the Senate actually was worse than when it left the House floor.
Mm-hmm.
Just as an example, if you're a family of four, make about $40,000, you would get $10. You know, that's what you'd get return as a tax cut. So, I mean, it was more generous before, and not terribly generous for working people, but we hated to see that movement. And actually, the bill spends more money, but it offers less in protection or cuts for people. So that was kind of discouraging. The governors may come up with a statement that, you know, if I think there's like 140 million cuts for corporations in the bill, and the governor has this emergency fund, 139 million for schools. He wants to say, if you don't give me the emergency funds, then I'm going to veto the bill. The Republicans say we don't have time to do it. What we could see happen is that he'll veto the bill. They'll sit down again and they'll work out a compromise. They won't necessarily both get what they want, but they might get something in between. And, you know, some of that $139 million for schools is going to be beneficial to schools.
Yeah, and, you know, that seems to be lacking. If you listen to the media reports that we've heard in recent years, not just this year, but that ability or willingness, I should say, to compromise doesn't seem like an ingredient that's there anymore.
That's absolutely it. It is very frustrating to see. I mean, I think in the 4 years of Republican majority, what I've seen is that they'll, you know, they don't want to give in, and they'll push it to the very end. They'll throw in poison pills to surprise the governor, just to sort of get a win one way or another. I remember when we had a Republican governor when the Democrats were the majority. You know, we might talk tough. You know, we might say we're going to, you know, fight this, but we knew that in order to govern, you have to compromise. You have to find some way of getting something, and we did get some things from the Democratic legislature. But we also had to give in on the governor some of the things the governor wanted. We did sit down with him and compromise. And I you're right. We have not seen that.
Are we going to see that? I mean, do you know if there's anything? When they do things like this, are they scheduled? Hey, we hear the governor is going to meet with, you know, the Republican leaders Thursday at 1 o'clock. Is there a schedule like that? Does it just pop up, or how does this whole compromise, I guess, mechanism work?
Well, it's I think,
any way
I think,
it can.
I think, well, yeah, that's right. I mean, I think under different circumstances. I mean, it used to be. Again, under Governor Pawlenty, the legislature would schedule meetings with mm-hmm. him, and the press corps would be outside his office, you know, waiting for the teams that were meeting together to come out and give their story mm-hmm. about how the negotiations went. I really 2 years into the, these 2 years, but the previous 2 years, we sort of saw this unravel where mm-hmm. Negotiations were not going well. And, you know, we saw in the last, the end of last year when, things that they thought they had agreement on, the governor thought he was going to get bills that he could sign, there were sneaky things in them, you know, like this thing that would have shut down the Department of Revenue if he vetoed the tax bill. Strange things like that appeared, you know, just as though they wanted to sort of, trick him or something like that. And they would often happen in the middle of the night, you know, in the dark of night when other people couldn't be watching to check and hear or listen to what was going on. Mm. So I wish that, yes, that there could be more kind of honest brokerage, honest ability to really sit down and compromise in the light of day so other people mm-hmm. could see what was going on. I don't see a reason necessarily not to do that. Unless you want to sneak something in.
Yeah, interesting. And we'll see what election year has to do with any of that, because the whole House is up for election. Let's move on. There's another bill that I want to talk about that has been a topic of discussion for a lot of people for a lot of years. That is the hands-free cell phone usage while driving a car. For some reason, it seems to me like this would be a slam dunk. I think 80% of Minnesotans would like to see a law governing, because we all see people talking on their phone and thinking, hey, drive.
Yeah, I think I'm a co-author on the bill, so
let's talk about it.
When Tony Cornish was chair of the public safety committee, he didn't really want to move it forward because he said he didn't think it was serious enough or was important enough. It's certainly serious to somebody who gets killed, you know, by somebody who's driving erratically because they're looking at their phone. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly how he considered that, but he's not there. So the current chair has also not moved it forward. I don't know if it's leadership, if it's Kurt Dowd or not, but in talking with another co-author of the bill, Frank Hornstein, I think he's thinking about asking for a state of urgency so that we could bring the bill to the floor, which you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth doing. I mean, I certainly will support him in his effort in doing that. I don't know if that'll happen today or tomorrow, but that would be one way of getting it to the floor and getting it in front of people and taking a vote on it. I think it'd be hard to vote against.
Yeah, well, and that it has pretty strong bipartisan support.
Yeah, it does.
A number of Republicans are co-authors
The main author, Representative Uglum, I'm not sure why he hasn't pushed harder either, but maybe he's also retiring, so you wonder, well, I mean, what has he got to lose, you know? But it's confusing. It should be, as you say, a bill that moves forward easily, because it's necessary.
Well, maybe we'll see some last minute momentum in that area.
That's right.
Yeah,
I mean, the other thing I was going to mention is that when I said that Wednesday is the day, they still have not brought before us this huge omnibus bill that they're working on that has almost all of their provisions in it, because it's still in conference committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we may find that suddenly it comes before us. I don't know if it's scheduled for today or not, but this is kind of the thing that happens in the last week. Things can just appear in front of you that you weren't prepared for. You know, a 600-page bill or something like that we're supposed to vote on.
You got 20 minutes and we'll put your vote on that.
Yeah, that's right.
You better know it.
Yeah, it's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of scary, you know, because these are important things. And, I mean, unless you're figuring, well, we'll pass it on and the governor will veto it, but... it's not easy. I just don't understand why we govern this way. But.
Now, from a standpoint, from your standpoint, What is your the rest of your week look like? You had a few more days, and there's got to be some bills done, and you got to. Are you just up there waiting to kind of go vote on something?
Well,
you have to be on call 24 hours.
No, so a lot of this it does happen kind of be out of public view. So we go in the morning. We'll be up there at 10 o'clock today, and we'll get called to order. We'll have the formalities of the beginning of the session, and then we'll recess. And during that recess, the two caucuses will go and talk about who will speak to certain bills, what bills are up. Mm-hmm. People will explain the bills to each caucus so that we understand what's there. There are a lot of smaller bills that we've been passing that none of us have seen because it didn't come through our committee, whatever, mm-hmm. so we do need to know something about them. But so that happens, and sometimes those debates about certain things, like, for instance, the tax bill or the bonding bill that we were talking about, can be quite lengthy, and a lot of people have strong opinions they want to express, and sometimes it's a rehearsal for your floor speech when you get up and do that, too, but that's a good part of the day, is a meeting in caucus. Even if we go back and do some more bills and then recess again, which we did yesterday to take up the tax bill, there was considerable debate during that period of time, too. Then a short break to go get some lunch. Maybe we'll do that for dinner as well. Who knows if we're still mm-hmm. there. There are some times when there isn't much to talk about. You know, we're just waiting for, say, a conference committee to finish its work. When, you know, those legislators are busy, but the rest of us are, as you say, mm-hmm. just kind of sitting around waiting for something to vote on.
So, David, how are your kids? Oh,
yeah. Or go for a walk, you know. Right. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, at least it ends, on a glorious note weather-wise.
That's
and we don't
right.
have the winter
That's
anymore. Right. Representative Bly, we're out of time. Anything else you want to pass along or...
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
But, okay. We'll have you back next week then one more time.
That's right.
Presuming the whole thing will be over.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
And we'll sum up my career or something like that, right?
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. Best of luck to you this week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
I really appreciate you having me on, too. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing.
State Representative David Bly.